Amsterdam, those desert valleys. But now I thank you for those trials. I used to curse the walls around me, but now I see you had it figured out. And it was all working for my good. If only I knew back then what I know right now. Oh, nothing is wasted in your hands. God, you didn't forsake me, and I know you never will. Within the storm, and there's a song for every season, so don't stop singing on and on until you see the sun, 'cause it was all working for my good. I see it now. If only I knew back then what I know right now. Oh, nothing is wasted in your hands. God, you didn't forsake, and I know you never will. Oh, I know you never will. You'll never leave me. You'll never will. And I trust you. Even when I don't see you, I still trust you. When I don't understand, I'll still lift my hands and worship in the middle of it. Oh. When I should have lost my mind, you showed up right on time and carried me through the valley all the way on the other side. And when pain tried to take my joy, that's when I felt you more. Now I've got to testify, God, you kept my heart alive. Oh, yes, you did. I didn't know if I'd survive. I gave up so many times, but you kept my heart alive. When loved ones came to die, you never left my side, and you kept my heart alive. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. I'll pray.
If only I knew back then what I know right now. Nothing is wasted in your hand. You didn't forsake me, and I know. Lift those hands. Let's declare this. You never will. You never will. I need you to make that confession. You never will. When the enemy starts talking to you, declare. When he tries to make you feel that God has forsaken you, declare this. I'll lift my voice and say, even in the middle of the storm, I'll say, even when I'm confused, I'll say, because I trust the God. If only I knew back then what I know right, I wouldn't have been mad at you. And nothing is wasted in your hand. I know, God, you didn't forsake me. And I know, kiss her that, God, you didn't forsake.
God, you didn't forsake.
I thought you did. I know you never will. God, you didn't. Come on, raise that, raise that.
And I know.
I know some of you are going through some stuff.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're back. Back in the great wooded state of New Hampshire. And I see so many amazing people in here saying that they're glad that we made it safe. And of course we did. And of course I saw Eli this morning. Today was the first day. I've been here since Saturday. We left Friday. We got here Saturday. And I didn't get to see Eli yesterday, but saw him today. And got to say, it doesn't even really, I mean, a little bit of it feels like we haven't been working in the same room for the last 2 months. But I got to say, it almost, just because of Eli, because of the fact that we see each other every day, the same way I see, like I look in the same spot, you're right there. It almost, aside from a couple things, doesn't feel like we ever skipped a beat.
Didn't skip a beat.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we are back in New Hampshire in the great, live free or die, wooded, great, granite state of New Hampshire. Can we go on that walk on that path behind you? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great if we were all out there having Rise Up rather than in here? Although this is great too. I'm okay with this. But ladies and gentlemen, back in the New Hampshire studio, and you know, the way that we set up both places is that it's exactly the same here as it is in Iowa. So I can just walk into work, don't have to bring anything with me, don't have to reset up any cameras, don't have to reset up any of the electronics. It's all right here, plug and play, ready to go. And boy, do we have a great, great message today called A Path Forward. Now, I sent out a newsletter this morning. I hope you guys got it. Did send out a newsletter. And then, like I said, it's called A Path Forward or The Road Ahead. And I think this is a topic that we need to talk about, because we always talk about what we need to do. We always talk about what we should do. We always talk about God's promise never to leave us. We always talk about God's promise to always light a path before us, be behind us, be on the side of us. But we definitely got to talk about what is on that path. What can we expect? Where's that path going to lead us? Well, we know where it ultimately leads us. But where does the narrow path lead us more immediately, like tomorrow or the next day or a month from now? Now, God tells us not to worry about that time. And we definitely should not. But it is nice to know through history in the Bible what kind of a path we're going to take and what we can expect on each one. Miss Mocha Powered said, so glad you got to see Shaylin. Oh, it was beautiful. Shaylin and I went out for dinner on Saturday night, and Jaden went out to dinner with his mother. And so he got to spend some quality time with his mom, whom he hasn't seen in 3 months or more. And I got to spend some quality time with my daughter, whom I've not seen in a month. And beautiful. Just absolutely beautiful. Of course, she's got her permit here in New Hampshire, so let her drive. And we went out to dinner and had a great dinner and talked about camps and talked about things I'm doing out there. And she was at Word of Life, a Bible camp. And then she went directly to another Christian camp right after that. So she went out with me to Iowa. Then she came back here. Then she had a camp for a week. Then she had another camp for a week. And now she left today with her mom to go on vacation. And then she's coming back Thursday and then coming back to my house Friday for a week and then flying back out here. So she has had a busy, busy summer. But even only being gone 2 months, she's like a grown woman to me. She's like a grown woman. And it was pretty incredible to see. A lot of people are asking if we've got some stuff that was sent in the mail. I'll be checking the P.O. box today. Eli checked it last week. I'm going to be going through some of the stuff that he picked up last week. And I'll be checking it again today. So we'll have more on that tomorrow about people who sent stuff and what gifts were sent. We'll go through those. Grammy Love is asking for prayers, folks. Please do that. Actually, let's go to the Lord in prayer now as we get ready for today's show and today's message, okay? Let's do that together. Lord and Heavenly Father, you promise us that if we walk by faith and not by sight, that we don't have to worry about what is ahead. But you never tell us not to have foresight and not to look forward to what's ahead. And I think it's important, and I think you think it's important enough for us to talk about this today because there is precedent in the past. There is a focal point on Abraham and Moses and all of these wonderful people who decided to just walk by faith and not by sight. And there's historical evidence as to what happens when you do that. Lord, today, please dwell in this wonderful conversation of ours. Dwell in this fellowship here on Rise Up. Help us spread the message far and wide so that atheists, agnostics, and even newcomers to Christ will have an idea of what that narrow path looks like. Lord, we also ask that anybody who is seeking relief or comfort in the name of Christ today receives that through this beautiful show. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to say hello to Lady Elliot in the building. How are you? I'd like to say good morning to Cindy. I'd like to say good morning to CQ. Amanda Collins, God bless you. River Rat is still here in the building. Folks, we're 17 minutes past the hour. Please share the show. We know a lot of people are experiencing hurricanes, bad weather, and some people are on their summer vacations right now. but it shouldn't stop us from spreading the gospel, not gossip. Amen? The title of today's show, The Path Forward. The path forward is not easy. Episode number 402. It's actually hard. Very hard. Filled with things not seen and a lot of things that can be somewhat scary. How do you do it? Well, today, let's think of Moses and Joshua for today's message. And that is where we're going to get our verse of the day today. It's going to be out of Joshua 12, 1 through 24. And the reason why we're focusing on Joshua 12, 1 through 24, is because it paints a picture for you to what God's people had to overcome in order to get to the promised land. We may even in this conversation talk about Abraham, who was on a very hard road with a promise that would lead him to a promised land. But let's even simplify it a little bit more. Let's simplify it down to a career or college. When a child leaves high school and becomes an adult and goes to college, and they're serious, they're not just going to party, they're absolutely and 100% serious about their college, collegiate journey, and their career afterwards. And they know that I've got to buckle down, keep my nose in the book, stay away from the parties, stay away from the frat houses, and study my academics. They know it's going to be a hard road. They know there's a possibility they might fail. But at least they're going into something that is seen and that is understood and has a backup plan. So it's very easy to know that you're heading in to a hard journey. But that's not walking by faith. Usually, walking by faith means doing the opposite of what your flesh and what your mind, body, and soul set to default wants to do. Let's talk about a career. Let's talk about going into a career knowing it's going to be hard to work your way up from the bottom to the CEO. It's knowable. Yeah, there's going to be some unforeseen things that happen. You know it's going to be a hard road, but you chose that to achieve that. And there's plenty of stuff to have contingency plans on. But when you walk by faith, again, it is the opposite of what your body tells you to do. It is opposite of what your flesh wants to do by design. So you are immediately, when you walk by faith and not by sight, going into uncharted waters. And there is no contingency plan. I did not have a contingency plan when I met Jesus for the first time and I decided to follow him. Peter, Paul, all the disciples, Simon, John, James, all the apostles, anybody that were Mary, none of these people set out to be what they became. None of these people knew what was going to happen tomorrow. And there was no contingency plan. There was no backup plan. There was no, well, if this doesn't work out for me, I can always X, Y, and Z. No, this was life. This was the choice. And there's no turning back. Now, there's falling off the path, but turning back and going completely backwards rarely, and never coming back to the path rarely ever happens to people who are seeking. But now let's talk about the path. If I were to tell you, if I was a college counselor or somebody that was walking you through leaving high school and going to your collegiate journey, you're going to give us all this money, right? It's not going to be easy at all, which you already know. It's going to come with massive amounts of failure. And it's going to come with people trying to rob, steal, take away your joy, ruin your life daily, people spitting on you, calling you names, kicking you, your family leaving you, your friends leaving you, being excommunicated from society, walking away from loved ones or them walking away from you because of your choice. Oh, and by the way, you can never do what you did your entire life that got you where you are right now. You have to change completely everything who you are. Do you think those people would still say, okay, let me go to college. Let me go on this journey. I would say half of them would turn around and say, whoa, 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 I didn't sign up for that. The thing about faith and the thing about Christianity and walking that narrow path, you don't really know what you're signing up for altogether. You figure that out on the way. You learn by trial. You know the possibilities may be, but a lot of people, when they first find Jesus, they think it's going to be this hunky-dory new lifestyle. Matter of fact, a lot of people who go to Jesus do it because they want this hunky-dory, livy, you know, joyful living lifestyle with no problems. When I first decided to seek Christ, I thought Christians had zero problems in life. How many of you thought that too? Now, some of you, wait, what happened to Corn Pop? What happened? Sorry for your loss. What happened? If somebody can answer that in the live chat, I'll keep my eyes on it. I definitely want to know what happened. But again, something happened where they lost something, and I'll find out in a minute. Did you honestly think that when you became a Christian like I did, that everything was going to be hunky-dory? Oh, her father passed away. I am so sorry to hear that. I am so sorry. I know you guys are men in a family of God. I pray that he was close to Jesus. And I am so sorry to hear that, Tabitha. We love you. God bless you, okay? I will be personally praying, and I'll ask my family to pray for you as well. Renee Ellis says, I lost my family because I could put Jesus first. It's exactly right. It's exactly right. Let's go back and talk about the Israelites. When Moses brought them out of slavery to the promised land. Let's compare what the Israelites thought was going to happen compared to what did happen. The Israelites thought, we are done being slaves. Time to go home and reclaim our land and live the most epic milk and honey lifestyle possible. Do you think, oh, he was a man of God. Amen. Amen. Doesn't make it much easier, but amen. Do you think that the Israelites thought that they were going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years while those that complained and turned their back on God were weeded out and filtered out of society? Do you think they knew that for 40 years they were going to be aimlessly walking around in circles and not going to the promised land? If they did know that, would they have gone? Well, most of them would have not. Because we remember what most of them had said, at least there, we weren't starving. At least there, we slept in beds. And Moses kept trying to tell him, would you rather be slaves? That's kind of people today who want to live in their slavery, who want to live in their sin, who do not want to stop doing what is familiar, even if it did not give them hope, joy, or salvation. They don't care. And most of them would have gone back. They wanted to go back. They grumbled. They complained when the path did not lead them where they expected it to lead them. And I can tell you this, your journey with Jesus will not lead you, at least in the near future, where you think it's going to lead you. I can promise you that. Now, we know where it ultimately leads, and that's why we get on it. And that's why we try to seek it immediately when we fall off. But we have no idea what's going to happen in between point A and point B. We have no clue. Only God knows. He wants you to willingly follow him, even if the possibility is there that you will lose everything you've ever known, even loved ones, maybe even your own life. Do you think Abraham's servants and family were happy with the fact that he was just going to travel and go to the promised land, to where God said that you will be a father of many nations? Do you think that they had a good time? Remember Lot? Remember Lot and his family? We're tired of this. We don't want to do this anymore. You did not tell us this was going to be the way. So we're going to go live in Sodom and Gomorrah for a bit. Holla. And we know what happened there. Forty years in the wilderness, dying off one by one by one after the other, grumbling, complaining, not putting their faith in the Lord. And once Moses died, Joshua had to take over. And that is where things changed. Once Moses passed away, and once a majority of the other generation that was slaves passed away, and after they went through years and years and years and multitudes of curses and sicknesses and hunger, they finally got to the point in which God allowed them to overcome their last hurdle before receiving the land of milk and honey. And that last hurdle was conquering kings. So the message today is really surrounded by this one major revelation. You're going to go through hell and back. Didn't Jesus do that more than once? But literally, didn't he go to hell and come back? Didn't he, during that time that he was, had not risen yet? And every second of Jesus's life mirrors our life when we put our faith and trust in him. Everything. We must walk the same journey as Jesus. And that overarching message today is this. Yes, you're going to go through hell and back, but guess what you're going to get for it? You're going to conquer kings, conquer death, conquer sin because of what Jesus did. And you will end up in that land of milk and honey, if you can persevere and continue to just give it to God. Give it to Jesus. Again, look what the Israelites went through. And those who grumbled, complained, cried, didn't cry out to the Lord, didn't seek the Lord, bowed down to idols, they're dead. They died out. They filtered out along the way of the narrow path. They could not stay on it. And when they fell off, they never went back, a majority of them. And that's why they wandered for 40 years. That's why God kept them lost. Okay, you're on the path. But for those of you who don't want to be on it, we've got to filter you out. Because this new Israel that conquers kings, when Joshua takes over, they will not be the grumbling, anti-God, idol-worshipping society any longer. They have gone through the trials and tribulations, and these are the people on the other side. The people that didn't want to embrace the walk by faith and not by sight, they're gone. They lived horrible lives, and now they're dead. We walk the same journey as Jesus. Moses walked the same journey as Jesus before Jesus became a man on this earth. And so did Abraham and many others. And then Jesus and then many people after him. Look at the disciples. Look how they all died. Look what happened to them because of their walk by faith, not by sight attitude. The path forward is not easy. The road ahead is going to be filled with potholes and traps and mountains and hills and water and muck and mire and mud and quicksand and everything in between. People trying to trip you, kick you, push you, pull you, knock you off that path. It's like constantly running through a booby-trapped path with people trying to hit you all the way. Anybody played football back in high school, you know there was drills where you had to run through with the football and people are smoking you on each side. It's not going to be easy. And when you experience moments of ease and joy, that's when you are really, really in tune with Jesus, because you're going through that stuff without it even phasing you. That's the goal. How do we make it through all of that? The traps, the pits, the muck, the mire, the sand, the mud, the people hitting you, tripping you, kicking you, punching you, pulling you. How do we get through all that with ease? How is that even possible? It is possible. And it gets easier as we go, just as it did for the Israelites. By the time Joshua took over, they were conquering kings with ease, real kingdoms like Jericho. Real kingdoms, kingdoms with armies, not some ragtag bunch of people who just wandered in the wilderness for 40 years with nothing. But it reminds you of how America became America, right? Ragtag bunch of farmers and people just wanting their land, picking up arms, doing what they had to do. Had God on their side, same as the Israelites. And they wiped out kingdoms with armies and fortresses and walls like nothing, because with Christ, all things are possible. I want to play a video for you. A couple videos, actually. God Chick says, stay focused on Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's see here. Give me a second here, folks. We're having some technical difficulties here. That's odd. Well, while we're waiting to show you that video, it is Comfort Monday, right? So while these videos are taking a minute to load for some odd reason, we're going to go to Comfort Mondays, because we're going to fill our time with God one way or the other, and ain't nothing going to stop us. And then we'll come back to these videos here in a second. That is odd. Give me one second here. I'm just trying to, probably because I'm back in this New Hampshire studio. Anyway, we'll play this Ray Comfort video now, and then we'll move on. And And I think this is about the Olympics.
The whole world watching, we have just witnessed a biological woman, also known as just a woman, in a fight with a boxer who was not allowed to compete against women last year because it's a man.
The world has gone crazy, and arguably it all began in 2008 when they abandoned the biblical definition of marriage and made up their own, whatever that was. And that was a slippery slope that led over the cliff of insanity.
Khalif was disqualified during the 2023 World Championships and sanctioned by the International Boxing Association for failing to meet gender standards because of high levels of testosterone.
It took 46 seconds for the woman, his opponent from Italy, to withdraw from the fight in tears.
With the Italian crying out, "I couldn't take it anymore," and several sharp punches to the head, including the nose by Khalif, Carini abandoned the fight, threw her helmet to the floor, stormed off the boxing ring, and in fact went on to say that she had never felt such strong blows in a contest before.
The president of the IBA said at the time, quote, "Based on DNA tests, we identified a number of athletes who tried to trick their colleagues into posing as women. The International Olympic Committee cleared Khalif to compete anyway in the game, saying, quote,
women in their passports, and it stated that is the case, that they are female.
This is a biological man from Algeria. We should expect this. This is the next logical step of America's influence in the world.
Algerian boxer Imane Khalif has won her first bout at the Olympics after Italian opponent Angela Carini abandoned the match just 46 seconds in.
When are you going to repent and put your trust in Jesus rather than in your own goodness?
Right now.
Just in the Olympics recently, a woman was beaten up by a man in the ring to a point where she broke down after 46 seconds while boxing and burst into tears because she was fighting a man who'd got through as a woman. Do you think that's fair?
No, I don't.
Why isn't it right?
Because, like, men always have the upper hand when it comes to women. They're, like, physically more able, have more strength, and, like, are more athletic when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Why'd you hesitate? Here's a man beating up a woman. Is it wrong that a man beats a woman up in the Olympics?
Just that when a man identifies as a woman and they do the necessary things to be identified as a woman, I think it makes the argument a little bit more difficult.
It was a man. So what's happening to the world? It's got kind of weird in the last few years.
Just a lot of weird stuff going on. Like 2024 has been a crazy year so far.
You know, I'm not too sure. I'm trying to figure that out still for myself as well.
But there's also like medications, there's therapy, there's surgery, there's a lot that goes into it, I feel.
What is a woman?
Someone that can reproduce, you know, period, like the common things that go with the biology of a woman, I'm guessing.
So if a man can't do any of that, he's a man, he's not a woman. What's happened is we've forsaken the Bible, which is our instruction book. No wonder the world's confused, because we're thrown away the instruction book. It tells us that God made man and woman in his own image, and they're different, they're separate. Women have children, men are to look after the women, and that's the order of God. And most of the world thinks they're primates, products of evolution with no rhyme nor reason to life. And that's why so many young people are killing themselves, because there's no real reason to live if you're just a primate.
Yeah, that's true.
And there's no right nor wrong. And that's why we're in such a mess. Would you agree?
Yes, I do.
You believe in God?
Of course I do.
Well, let me share the gospel with you and see what you think. Are you familiar with the gospel?
Not really. No.
Do you think you're a good person?
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay, how many lies have you told in your life?
Too many to count.
You ever stolen something?
Yeah, when I was little.
So have you ever used God's name in vain?
No.
OMG?
Yes.
It's called blasphemy. It's using God's name as a cuss word. Very serious. Punishable by death in the Old Testament. One to go, and I appreciate your honesty, and I know this is a bit painful, but it's very important. Jesus said, if you look at a woman and lust for her, you commit adultery with her in your heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
No.
When did you last look at pornography?
Long time ago.
That's looking with lust. It's committing adultery in your heart. So Edgar, here's a quick summation of your court case on Judgment Day. You've told me you're a lying thief, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart. And you're self-righteous, which is a sin, and saying you're a good person when you're not. You're just like the rest of us. Here's the question. If God judges you by the Ten Commandments, we looked at four, on Judgment Day, you're going to be innocent or guilty?
Only he can tell.
Well, you'll be guilty like the rest of us. Would you therefore go to heaven or hell?
I still believe I'd go to heaven.
The Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. No thief, no blasphemer, no adulterer, no fornicator will inherit God's kingdom. So you're in big trouble. God's wrath abides on you. The Bible says, every time you sin, you store up his wrath. So that brings us to the gospel. Why did Jesus die on the cross?
For our sins.
Yeah, and sin is the breaking of the Ten Commandments. Edgar, if you can get a grip of this, it's going to change everything for you. So don't let anything distract you, okay? The Ten Commandments are called the moral law. You and I broke the law. Jesus paid the fine. That's what happened on that cross. That's why he said, it is finished, just before he died. He was saying, paid in full. If you're in court and you've got speeding fines, and you plead guilty, a judge will let you go if someone else pays the fines. He'll say, you're out here, someone's paid your fine, and it's legal. Well, God can take death off you because Jesus paid the fine in full on that cross. And it's legal. God can let you live forever because of what Jesus did on the cross through his death and resurrection. And all you have to do to find everlasting life is repent of your sins and trust in Jesus. And you'll never repent of your sins if you think you're a good person. Why should you? But once you see sin in its true light, that it's the breaking of the commandments, and it's very serious in God's eyes, then you can be genuinely sorry for your sins, repent, and put your trust in Jesus, like you trust a parachute. If you're going to jump out of a plane 10,000 feet, why would you put on a parachute?
To soften our fall.
You don't want to die. And your motivation is fear, and that fear is your friend, not your enemy, because it's making you put on a parachute. Because I love you, I've tried to put the fear of God in you today. I've tried to make you a little scared, hoping you'll see that fear as your friend, not your enemy, because it'll make you serious with the God that gave you life. It'll give you the ability to truly be sorry for your sins, genuinely repent, put your trust in Jesus, so you'll find everlasting life. Is that making sense?
Yes.
You're going to think about what we talked about?
Yes, for sure.
When are you going to repent and put your trust in Jesus rather than in your own goodness?
Right now, as soon as possible.
Are you sorry for your sins?
Yes, I am.
Can I pray with you?
Yes.
Father, I pray for Edgar that this day he'll really understand your love, the serious nature of sin, and what you did through the cross. And today may he be truly born again. May the eyes of his understanding be enlightened. And may he pass from death to life and be truly born again, all because of your amazing grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Do you have a Bible at home?
Yes, I do.
Can I give you a book I've written called Scientific Facts in the Bible?
Yeah, sure.
Good rule of thumb is no Bible, no breakfast, no read, no feed. Put your Bible before your belly, you'll never go wrong. Make sense?
Yes.
Great to meet you, man.
Great to meet you too. Thank you.
So where are you going when you die?
I'm going to heaven because I confess that Jesus is Lord and I've repented and I've been baptized.
And you're reading your Bible daily?
Yes, I read my Bible daily.
Would you say to a homosexual they're not going to enter heaven according to the Bible, or would you hesitate?
According to the Bible, no, but they can repent and they can be saved.
You just said you were a lukewarm Christian a while ago. What happened to change that?
Honestly, I believe God, he just put me at a point at rock bottom and helped me realize that he was my rock at the bottom.
Amen. Jesus is found at rock bottom.
And it's just been up since then. You just have to let go of a lot of like worldly things, worldly desires, which I still struggle with. We all struggle with it. But it's just waking up every day and choosing to carry your cross.
Did you have a glimpse of your own sinfulness and that's what brought you to the cross?
Yes. I went through like Bible studies. You just realize like how much of your life is sin and worldly. And then you reflect on what happened to Jesus during that time, and you realize like how much of your personal decisions led to Jesus dying on the cross, and you just reflect, repent, and
he changes you and gives you a new heart.
Amen. Yes.
Great to talk to you.
Yes,
thank
you.
Thanks.
Gotta love that when you actually talk to people who are so willing and so lovely and so open to the word of God. It is beautiful. It is beautiful. Now, hopefully these videos will work now. I think they're going to. I want to play two for you. Here's the first one. And this is actually going back to what we talked about today, the verse of the day. But my question is this. How many of you feel like you've been wandering for 40 years? How many of you feel like you took that step to be a Christian? And I'm not saying a literal 40 years. I'm using an analogy here. But how many of you feel like you've been wandering for 40 years? And if you have, and if you do feel like that, there's clearly some rebellion that's happening in your life. Clearly. And that rebellion is causing God to have you wander in circles, not send you back to Egypt, He doesn't want that for you. He doesn't even want you to walk in circles, but he cannot let you move forward if there's some rebellion going on, if there's some resistance to him happening right now. And you have to pinpoint where that resistance is. You have to know, where am I rebelling? Why am I rebelling once you pinpoint it? And then you have to go, I'm not going to stop that. Because I want to get to the land and milk and honey. I want to conquer kings like Joshua did. Now, Moses, unfortunately, didn't get to see the conquering of kings on this earth because Moses' job was different than that of Joshua's job in Christ. Listen to this.
After Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, in Joshua 12, verse 7 and 24, they had to conquer the land God promised them. Joshua takes over after Moses dies, and they start taking down kings in the promised land. In Joshua 12, it lists all the kings they conquered. First, Moses and the Israelites beat two big kings on the east side of the Jordan River, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan. These men were tough, but with God's help, Israel defeated them and took over their lands. Then Joshua leads the Israelites across the Jordan River, and they start taking over cities on the west side. They defeat a whole bunch of kings, 31 in total.
Wow.
We're talking kings of places like Jericho, Ai, Jerusalem, Hebron, and many more. Each of these kings had their own city and army, but none of them could stand against Joshua and the Israelites because God was with them. It's a story of faith following God's plan and victory. And that's the rundown, simple and powerful.
Simple, yet super powerful. Think of that. Now I saw this video from a biologist, from a scientist, from a doctor, explaining something that I have never heard in my entire life. Save this video for you today as well. On the screen, let's roll it.
Flip the human nervous system upside down. It looks like a tree growing out of a seed, bearing the fruit of the heart, which looks suspiciously like a piece of fruit hanging in a tree. That tree growing out of the seed also supports the fruit of the spirit. And the cycle of the seed looks suspiciously like the parable of the sower. 12 pair of cranial nerves to edify the body controlled by the mind. 12 disciples sent out in pairs to edify the body controlled by the head. 12 disciples with one removed. 12 tribes with one removed. Adam's 12 pair of ribs with one removed to make Eve. Jesus pierced in his side to bring the church to life. Are you starting to see it? I often wonder why God made me a medical doctor. And then I start to see the gospel in the anatomy and physiology of our bodies. And it all starts to make sense. Allow me to elaborate. If the husband is the head and the wife is the body, then the husband is the brain and the wife is the heart. And so the husband is responsible for thinking, taste, touch, sight, smell, and hearing. And the wife is responsible for feeling, following the brain, and doing. All you have to do is study the central and peripheral nervous systems, and then the somatic and autonomic nervous systems. And you will know exactly how your marriage is supposed to be structured, and why you guys can't get along for the life of you. It's the heart arguing with the mind, the rod arguing with the staff, the law arguing with grace, the circulatory system arguing with the nerve.
How huge is that? How huge is that? Never, those kind of things always blow my mind. That kind of revelation that somebody finds, it blows my mind every single time. I had another video here I wanted to show you, but I don't think we'll get to that today. I want to continue just talking to you all. So, Jeremy, you'd be proud of David. David, he forgot his first kata at the competition but kept going. They didn't score him, but they gave him a small trophy. Hey, good for him. Good for him. Teaching him to stay on that path right there with some discipline and stuff. So I'm going to read from my books here pertaining to today. Now, I bet that those Israelites that desperately wanted to go back and be slaves of Egypt, I will bet you that they felt abandoned by Moses and by their God. Be willing to bet they felt abandoned. But you don't have to feel abandoned when you're on this path, folks. You know what to expect. The path forward is going to be filled with a lot of issues, a lot of problems. You're going to have to plow through them. And there is an easy way to do it, and there's a hard way to do it. And if you want to do it the hard way, you'll roam around for 40 years. Trust that. Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave nor forsake you. Psalm 37:28. The Lord loves justice and fairness. He will never abandon his people. They will be kept forever. Psalm 68:6. God makes a home for the lonely. He leads out the prisoners into prosperity. And John 14:18. I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Father, you are faithful and true to your promises. Help me remember the times you stood by me and renewed my strength when I thought no one supported me. Teach me of other men that you have stood beside in times of loneliness and struggle, like David, Moses, and Jesus, so I am strengthened against all my fears. Remind me once again of your certain promise to restore and fulfill, so I may overcome this trial with the joy of victory that you will bring with it. It all comes down to belief. Do you believe that if you engage on this journey with Jesus, that your end place is the land of milk and honey, heaven, eternity, in the presence of God? And if you do believe that, and you're not seeing any of that on your journey, then we need to find where you're rebelling and where you're resisting. I'm constantly doing that. As a matter of fact, yesterday was a day of conviction for me on a few things. But if you go, and if you walk by faith and not by sight on this path that you know is going to be filled with rough times, you will have God's provision. Psalm 34:10 says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Why? Because God will supply that for you and provide that for you. Psalm 111:5, he hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. God's providence is revealed in both the big and the small. The timing of a call from a friend, the helping hand of a coworker, the cheer of a sunny day, there are no coincidences. Just a loving God revealing himself to those who watch out for him. God's provision. One other thing I'd like to read before we end today. And that's this. Lessons to learn from the Israelites who were wandering aimlessly and tirelessly through the wilderness. From here, they pressed on towards Mount Sinai, where God bestowed Moses with the Ten Commandments. Now, here's the rebellion. Here's the pushback. But the Israelites failed to obey God. And on this path, you are going to find moments where you fail to obey God. I promise you. You're not going to walk on this path unscathed. Not at the beginning. Probably not ever. The Israelites failed to obey God, almost immediately breaking commandments by indulging in idolatry. Because of their lack of loyalty to God, who had just liberated them from tyranny, like he does us from sin, he punished them with 40 years of wandering through desert wilderness before being able to enter the promised land. It's a sad story. And even though we know how great the eventual ending will be, and it's normal to wonder why the Israelites just couldn't do what they were supposed to do, but there are also some important lessons that we can learn from the Israelites and the years that they spent wandering around like that. Number one, God will make a way even where it seems impossible. God will provide and fight for you. And sin will always take you farther than you want to go. Just in the opposite direction. How crazy is that? So, ladies and gentlemen, today, for those who are just getting on their journey with Jesus, don't do what I did. Don't believe it's going to be puppies, kittens, rainbows, and sunshine. That's all found in Jesus, not in your world, not in your daily activities, not in your family and friendships, not in your work, not in your school, not in your societies or your communities. That kind of joy is only found in Jesus. Don't be looking for that on your journey with him. Look to him for that, and you'll find it. Everything else, you got to know what to expect. Don't feel like I felt, go, well, I'm going to become a Christian so nothing bad happens to me. Win. No, that's not a win. It's not how it works. Matter of fact, everything is going to be flung at you to try to stop you once that happens. But you have Jesus, and he promises to protect you. Folks, that's going to do it for Rise Up today. First show back in New Hampshire. I think it was a success. God bless each and every one of you. Mike Crispy and Unafraid comes up next, followed by 2 hours with yours truly on Live from America. Me and Eli, back together again. The dynamic duo. I love you guys. God bless you. Keep on that path, and don't expect it to be easy. Just expect it to be what God wants in your life. I love you guys. God bless. See you later.